Hey friends, I wanted to grab your attention real quick before we jump into today's episode. You know, we have an incredible summer matching gift opportunity where every single gift that you donate to our ministry before July 31st will be doubled up to $75,000. So if you are benefiting from these programs and you would love to come along and support and partner with us, you've got an opportunity here to double your gift, but time is running out. So if you'll go to bebroken.org/donate, that's bebroken.org/donate, and make a gift to our ministry, it will be doubled up to $75,000. You can also donate stock. That's another way that you can contribute to our ministry. Thank you so much for listening, and also thank you for being a partner in this work. God bless you. Good day, listeners. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the Pure Sex Radio program. We're a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and we exist to help men, women, and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. In this episode, I welcome back Carol Jurgensen Sheets, better known as Carol the Coach, a certified sex addiction therapist. You know, we reminisce about her last appearance in March of 2020, where she focused on empathy for husbands. Carol then shares her journey since 2007, emphasizing the importance of empathy in all relationships. She introduces her Early Recovery Couples Empathy Model, or ERCM, which involves working with both partners from the start to foster post-traumatic growth. Carol explains the role of empathy in healing from infidelity, highlighting the long-term process and the need for genuine understanding. She also provides resources for couples seeking support and offers a hopeful message for those on their healing journey. To learn more about Carol and her resources, visit sexhelpwithcarolthecoach.com. For even more resources, visit bebroken.org or check out all the links that we're going to put in today's show notes. And friends, please rate and review the podcast after listening to help others find it. And don't forget about our matching gift opportunity that ends July 31st. So any gift that you donate between now and then will be doubled up to $75,000. So go to bebroken.org/donate to double your gift today. And thanks so much for your partnership. All right, let's dive into today's conversation with Carol the Coach. All right, well, Carol the Coach, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much. It is so good to be here. I've missed you and the show.
Yeah, you know, I was actually looking and it was March of 2020, which is the last time we aired one of your podcasts. And it was actually on the topic of helping husbands learn and practice empathy.
That's right.
And so really focusing in on that husband piece. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that today. But before we get into kind of the specific topics that we want to address, maybe for some of our newer listeners or folks who may just not know about what you do, can you share a little bit about yourself and just kind of the work that you do in this space?
Okay, well, I call myself the grandmother of sex addiction because I took the course to become a certified sex addiction therapist in 2007. And wow, that was with Patrick Carnes. He taught almost every class. And he had just been through coaching, and I was already a coach. And so he wanted us to help the betrayed and the betrayers find their own post-traumatic growth and leave their own legacy once they got into good, solid recovery. And I remember thinking, my gosh, he is speaking what I've been doing for people all along. However, I hadn't been with this population, and I thought, there's a lot of hope in that. And that's what I want to tell our listening audience today, is that when you work good recovery and you're working on individually finding that sobriety, and then you maximize it by simultaneously helping your relationship heal, if you are married or, you know, in a relationship with somebody, if you can do those things together, you'll maximize post-traumatic growth. Now, if your listeners out there are divorced, widowed, single, it's still good to learn empathy, because empathy allows you to take somebody's perspective and to see it from their place. And our world right now needs more of that just in general. So this podcast today is for anybody.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that, because I think, you know, sometimes when we do focus a little bit more intently on, let's say, a marriage or a couple that's in this, you know, romantic, intimate relationship, it can feel as if every other person is somehow not relational. And the fact is, human beings are fundamentally relational creatures. And this idea of empathy is valuable to every person for any relationship that they are in. But with that being said, we are going to kind of hone in here for a little bit on couples, because you have developed what's this model that you call the Early Recovery Couples Empathy Model, or for short, ERCOM. So first of all, just tell us what that is and sort of how you got to this place of developing this model.
Well, it's a funny thing, because when I was a therapist, before I got my training with certified sex addiction, and I also am on faculty and trained for APSATS, which is a partner betrayal program, I stopped working with couples. I thought it was too high conflict. I wanted to do things that brought me more joy. And so I stopped working with couples and I started working in groups with men and women. I actually ran over 2,000 women's groups and found there was a lot of trauma and abuse in those groups. Then I got my coaching. Then I got my CSAT, that's Certified Sex Addictions Therapist Training. And I started working with men, prescribing, if you will, my 10 recovery tools, some of which I really got from Patrick Carnes, the godfather of sex addiction. And my guys got better, and their wives were in the fetal position on the floor. As a result, I said, oh, I need to do something for them, because the men weren't getting better, because they were watching all this trauma in their household, or maybe now they're separated and they didn't know what to do. And so I did two things. I started working with them on the concept of empathy, and I started creating worksheets and booklets and all sorts of things to help them. And I started changing the way I worked with addicts, and I invited both the partner and the betrayer in at the same time. And if I didn't invite her from the first session, what ended up happening is she put herself on the back burner and she said, no, just work with my husband. So by changing the trajectory of how I worked, I got them both in there. I was able to resource them. And I would say about 98% of the couples then that were in my office stayed together and worked with me as a coupleship. And that was such a blessing, Jonathan, because he was coming out of the fog of addiction, and she was so traumatized, her brain was offline. And he didn't know what to do to help her, and she didn't know what to do to help her. And she would come in and she'd say, I'm going crazy. I can't think. I can't speak. I don't want to move. Or I can't stop looking at his phone. I can't stop scrutinizing everything he does, and it's making my brain worse. And so that's then when I decided to write Help Her Heal, to really teach him those empathy skills, and then to write her book, Unleashing Your Power, to help her work through this sexual betrayal, whether she's with him or without, she can do all those exercises. And then last but not least, I said, you know what? There are not enough professionals in this niche that know how to do healthy couples work. And so I created a certification program so I could help both therapists and coaches to learn these safety skills, to get them to a place of safety and stabilization, and then that all-important grief, mourning, and anger work, and then over there to restoration, or what I call post-traumatic growth. And then when they get to post-traumatic growth, they are stabilized, they're connected, and they have this, I say, God-given gift to want to give back. Most of the time, it's to this niche, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes they do missionary work in Haiti. Sometimes they do reading at their grandson's school. But it gives them that desire. It really gives them that desire to want to give back and to connect with the world at large. And so that's how IRCM got started. I've trained over 200 professionals. I highly recommend you take it, Jonathan. It's amazing. I know. And people are saying, oh my gosh, couples would come into my office so dysregulated. She was so activated. He was so disconnected. And now they're working together. She's giving him permission to receive what he has to give to her. And I'm teaching him how to do that with her. And then they are reconnecting together. And it's the most beautiful gift that I've ever been given.
Yeah. So what are some of the key elements then within IRCM that really help maybe shift the paradigm of focus or even what the target is? Because, you know, one of the things that you said that made me want to ask that question was when you're talking about earlier on, and you would have a wife where if she didn't start this journey together with you, with the husband, that there was a sense of like, okay, just work on him. How often do you see that a wife, and maybe even a husband too, can have this expectation that if my addiction gets dealt with, then everything else will just sort of magically work out? And how have you learned, first of all, that that is not true? And what is it about IRCM that maybe helps to reframe what maybe some of the goals are, some of the targets? What are you actually working on?
Well, that's a great question. And the truth is that when I wrote Help Her Heal, that book was predicated on him understanding what trauma is so that he'd realize his wife wasn't crazy. She was in a trauma state. Mm-hmm. And then him working on his feelings so that he could begin to understand his feelings and then understand hers, which is a precursor for empathy. And then what were her needs? I promise you that in 98% of betrayed couples' paradigm, the wife needs communication, she needs safety, and she needs to know what is he doing to work on his recovery. So the old model, which was based on 12 steps, and you know, I believe when you know better, you do better, and the 12-step world is beginning to change in miraculous ways, and I'll tell you one way in just a minute. But that model was, you work on your stuff over here on this side of the street, you work on your stuff on that side, partner. You must be codependent. And then in a couple of years, we'll put you back together. And nothing could be further from the truth. I never worked with a betrayer or a partner without seeing them together the first time. Then I let her decide what she wants next. But once she's in there with me and once she sees that I'm heavy-handed about what he needs to do, but I also expect her to be willing to sit in an office and hear how he's willing to change, to hear him talk about how he knows he's wounded her, to have him contain the space and the pain while she grieves and mourns and gets angry. This is all IRCM stuff. It provides, I know this is going to sound contraindicated, but it provides a safety for her where she says, this is the man I want. This is the man that didn't show up for me initially. I want this guy. And he puts her first. Now, that's not always the way it goes, but it goes that way for the first 9 to 24 months because the trauma state or the traumatic experiencing that she's having requires at least 24 months of safety. So this is no short-term work. And since it employs both of them together, they're learning from each other what they need. And that is an incredible process that unfortunately our professionals have not known what to do. And it wasn't until I wrote Help or Heal that I recognized that the work was only half done, because I got him to the place where he learned empathy, he learned trigger busting, he learned how to have shame resiliency so he didn't spiral. And that was only half of it. Now they need to work together and work on things like restoration. Not talking about recovery for a day. Maybe we start with an hour. What does it look like to trust again? How can you trust again when the worst thing in the world has happened to you next to the loss of a child? And when we get to that place, then they've already got one foot in post-traumatic growth. And then I start hitting them with post-traumatic growth exercises that are research-based. They came from Tedeschi and Calhoun that did the first studies on post-traumatic growth after veterans witnessed, you know, their best friends being blown up. And they went into villages and shot children and families. And you know, I mean, they were living such trauma because they were following what they were instructed to do. And they were having nightmares and flashbacks and the same kinds of things partners have. And we just really found that if you can get them to a place of safety, they want something more than what they had and something more than they could have ever imagined that they would ascribe to. And that is that sense of confidence and that sense of self-worth and that sense of connection as a couple. And that's what Help Them Heal is about. It's a workbook that takes you through all those stages, all the exercises, just in case you don't have a therapist or coach to work with. But it's also a dual experience because it teaches clinicians and coaches how to do the work with the couple. So many professionals have said, my gosh, you've taken us step by step through these three phases so that we can get them to post-traumatic growth. And I've watched this work do miracles. I've taught it to APSATs. I've taught it to other professionals. And now I'm at the ITAP Foundation, which certifies sex addictions therapists, and I'm teaching it there. So I'm always looking for new places to teach this Help Them Heal concept, which is ERCM, the Early Recovery Couples Empathy Model.
Yeah. So let's, I hear you saying that there's sort of this three strand part to this, where previously it was sort of like, you're going to walk these parallel paths, you know, kind of the old codependent model, which is you've got a husband got stuff to work on, a wife got stuff to work on, and then later you got marriage stuff to work on. And what I'm hearing you say is that the work can happen in conjunction with one another from the very beginning. It doesn't mean that there's not any distinctions between what a husband may need to do in certain recovery elements, what a wife may need to do in certain betrayal trauma healing elements. But what you're saying, if I'm hearing you correctly, is we need to find ways for that to be done together rather than creating even more separation that's already there from the pain. So let's dive into, because part of what you have in this ERCM name is the word empathy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about that for a little bit? Because I feel like that is one of those words that's been a buzzword in recent years where it gets tossed around a lot. And I don't know if everybody really even knows what it means. I think there's a lot of people that have a lot of different definitions about that, what it means. So first of all, can you give us your definition of what you believe empathy is? And then I'd like to talk a little bit about what is empathy not, so that we can be really clear on what we're talking about here.
Yeah. Well, I borrow from the same person that Brené Brown borrows from. Empathy was defined by Teresa Wiseman, who was a nursing scholar, as four criteria. One, it was taking somebody's perspective and being able to see their perspective instead of one's own. Then the second thing was to do it non-judgmentally. You know, if a betrayer or an addict is saying, it makes sense to me that you don't trust me, and she goes off the rail and she's screaming, and inside he's thinking, you are crazy. You're never going to get healthy. You're crazy. Well, that's judgment. So we want to keep him out of that place. Now, we'll talk about the partner in a minute because she has to show empathy too. The third thing is that he has to recognize emotionality. And that means he has to be able to have breakfast with his wife, leave to go to the VP, and come back and see that she's got her arms crossed and she's growling, or she's got her arms crossed and she's not talking. And instead of saying, I'm the offending item, I better get myself out of here. And we know there's two benefits to that. One is he thinks he's doing her a favor. And then two, he's like, get me out of this conflict. He has to lean into whatever's going on with her and say, babe, I can tell you're really upset or angry or sad. And I suspect you've been triggered. Can I help you with that? Can I sit here with you and can we talk about what's going on right now inside of you? That's recognizing that emotionality. And then the last thing is it's being able to identify what feeling that is. That's why feelings is the number two chapter in Help or Heal. So once again, it is perspective taking, doing it non-judgmentally, recognizing emotionality, and being able to link it to a feeling. When you do that, then you've got the four important criteria to relate to the other person. And you're able to say, you know, it makes sense to me that something happened while I was gone, and I want to hear more about that. It looks like you're really angry right now, and I'm here for you, even if I know I caused the original pain. Because the truth is, Jonathan, part of empathy as a betrayer is acknowledging that he's the reason for the season, even if he's got 4, 5, 6 months of good recovery. Way back when, him looking at pornography made her feel inferior. Him having multiple affairs with multiple types of sex workers made her feel like she would never measure up. Not only not measure up, but also it made her wonder, who was this man she was with? So that's empathy.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, as you're saying that, the image that came to my mind that, tell me if this helps to visualize a little bit of what you're talking about. It would almost be like saying to a combat veteran that has not been in combat for a year, and yet they're having a traumatic moment to say, hey man, you haven't been in combat for a year. Why are you so, why is that bothering? You know, it's a little bit of the equivalent of the betrayer then going, man, I haven't fired a shot at you for 6 months. Why are you still feeling like this way? So I think it's important, maybe sometime you need to have other contexts in which trauma happens to help people maybe to visualize, oh yeah, this isn't something that you just flip a switch. And just because you have been doing something right doesn't mean there's not still trauma there. But also then I love what you're saying. That gives the betrayer, you're trying to gain a new perspective. You're trying to gain a new lens through which to see the trauma in the person that you have hurt. Now, where do some people get this idea of empathy wrong? Like what is empathy not? And maybe where have people gotten confused about what they think is empathy when in fact it's not?
Okay, I will tell you that in one more second, but you brought up such a good point. And the truth is, with specialized help, It takes a couple, especially a partner. Well, no. It takes a betrayer's brain 5 years to redevelop, to retrain, to develop new circuitry and new neural pathways and healthy behaviors. 5 years. Mm-hmm. It takes a partner 3 to 5 years to work through that trauma and begin to trust yourself again. So when you said that about, well, I've been sober for 6 months, what's the deal? Or, man, you haven't been shot at for over a year. Why aren't you getting over it? Empathy is knowing that it's going to take a long time and that you're going to work through this together. That's the answer to that. 3 to 5 years minimum. And that's brain science. Now, what not to do? The first thing you don't do is, as a betrayer, you never say, I understand what you're going through. Because a betrayer can never understand. The betrayer has to say, uses words very carefully. It makes sense to me. I can see that. It looks like, so that he's not saying, I'm there with you so much, I'm feeling your pain. Because an addict will never feel a partner's pain. That's the first thing not to do when you think you're trying to work on empathy. Mm-hmm. The second thing is what you already brought up, trying to speed up that process. You know, every time she emotes, he needs to acknowledge, I know I caused the original pain and I haven't forgotten. And I even go so far in my IRCAM, in my helper heal groups, and in help them heal, because I run a couples group for that. There are going to be openings in my April group. I teach the betrayer to say to her, you know, this is going to be a long time, and I'm here with you, and I will do whatever you need. I am here to make an amends, to restore a relationship, and I just want you to know that I haven't forgotten that I caused the pain. And when he acknowledges that, I even say, guys, do it when everything's copacetic and you're watching a commercial and you look over at her and you say, hey, I'm so happy we're here together. I love watching TV with you, but I haven't forgotten what happened to you and that I caused that. And I just want you to know that. Well, initially guys would go, I don't want to bring that up. We're having a good moment. Are you kidding me? But the truth is, she may say something negative like, well, you better never forget it. But deep down inside, he's planting seeds that say, you can trust me that I won't forget how wounded you are and that I did as we move forward together. And so that's what you should not do when you're working on empathy.
That's good. So what are, as you work with couples, and as you, even in your work that you've put together with help them heal, what are some of the roadblocks or challenges that couples feel? Where are maybe some of the key points where you see a lot of couples get stuck or feel like, whew, that's a tough pill to swallow to take the next step on this journey. Where do you see some of the obstacles that couples face in the healing process?
Well, the interesting thing is, I don't very often. I see just the opposite. I see a man who writes down 25 things that he's willing to do to restore safety, and he reads it to her, and she looks at him and says, I no longer need polygraph tests. I want to start trusting me. So you can take that off your list. You don't have to do that twice a year. Or I see women that say, I appreciate you telling me I don't have to forgive you. And I know that because I'm in the driver's seat. A partner never has to forgive. But what I do know is that I will be a happier person if I forgive you. And so I'm going to forgive you for me, not for you. And so I see the opposite of what you were just asking. I see through IRCAM that couples organically begin to redirect where we need to go through feeling more empowered and more connected. It is magic. And all the therapists and coaches that I've trained have said, it is magic. And I don't mean to say that it makes everything easy, but I am saying it is a pathway down a road to restoration. And when they get to restoration, there is that sense of, I would never have asked this for me, but what I do know is that I can find something for God to make a difference in my life, and I'll be doing God's work. And that's always the bottom line.
Yeah, that's good. So as we kind of get close to just wrapping up here, what are some things that you would want to say to a couple out there that is feeling like, I don't know what to do next? We're at a place where we think we want to try to make this thing work after this huge explosion has happened in our relationship. Just what kind of hopeful message would you give to that couple? And then where can anybody go to get the resources that you've mentioned?
I've only met one type of couple that doesn't benefit from this work. And it is when the partner doesn't believe in the compulsivity of addiction. And she just feels like this was something he did because she wasn't good enough. And she stays stuck with that. That's the only couple I've ever met where there isn't forward movement because of where she lands. So I would say my first chapter in Help Them Heal is about, I want to be a beacon of hope for you. And anecdotally, I believe that men that get healthy and work on the relationship skills that they need to do, and these books spell them out, are better than 85% of all men out there, not just other recovering addicts, but all men out there. And then I want to say that there is a directory of IRCAM therapists and coaches on my website, Sex Help with Carol the Coach, that you can go to see if you want to work with somebody face to face, if you want to do it virtually. We have Help or Heal groups. We've got a Help Them Heal book study where I take 12 couples through the chapters on a 10-week period, and they get to work with me, which is kind of cool because I'm supposed to be retired and I'm doing this group for them. So if you feel like your relationship is stalled, or if you just don't think you've had good treatment with other professionals, I challenge you and implore you to come to this book study, learn these skills, and watch the magic.
That's great. And give that website again where people can go to get all the resources.
Yeah, it's www.sexhelpwithcarolthecoach. It'll turn into Help Them Heal. It just morphs. And then go to workshops. And there's two types, one's for professionals and one's for couples. Hit the couples tab and sign up for Help Them Heal. And I'll take you through those steps together. And we'll do it within the context of a group, because groups are so powerful. And you and I know, Jonathan, when one person does their work in group, so does everybody else.
Yeah, there's a positive peer pressure that can happen in the groups, right?
Well, peer pressure as well as unconsciously, as you watch that work, you realize you needed that work too, and you didn't even have to do it. They did it. Now you're different.
Yeah. Well, I kind of think, you can go either direction. It's kind of like unhealth begets unhealth. Well, also health begets health. So like the more you've got people that are saying, I want to be healthy, it just multiplies in that direction. Well, Carol, it's always a joy to talk with you. And you always bring such great benefit to our audience. And so thank you for being with us today.
Oh, again, I so appreciate coming on and for the work that you do and the work we're all doing to not right the wrong, but to repair what's happened to us. So good to see you. God bless.
Yeah. Well, listeners and viewers, we're going to put a lot of stuff in the show notes about what Carol's been talking about to help you take your next best step towards healing and wholeness. And so please check that out. And as always, we love it that you've been with us, and we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. Take care.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.